Hi there, I'm Pastor Rod Parsley, and I sure want to thank you for listening to today's podcast. I'm the senior pastor of World Harvest Church, where we love God and love people, and I hope you'll be inspired by today's message. Now, for more great content and lots of updates, I'd love to connect with you online at rodparsley.com. But right now, let's head into today's episode. From the events in Charlottesville, Virginia, where racism and violence made headlines around the world, to the bullets that rained down on a concert crowd in Las Vegas, the hatred we see played out these days is confusing and frightening. These moments reveal to us that the heart of the human problem is in reality the problem of the human heart. As I sought the face of God regarding these tragedies, the Holy Spirit directed me to change my message on a Sunday morning, and then I kept expanding on that original word for several weeks. God spoke to me through Ecclesiastes chapter 3, which plainly says, to everything there's a season, time to every purpose under heaven, time to keep silence, and a time to speak. Now, these messages have literally exploded online and on social media. They've been seen by multiplied millions around the world. God's message truly struck a chord, and America knew it needed to be heard. Here's one installment of the four-part message series, From the Heart of God to the Hearts of His People, A Time to Speak.
I intend to take issues that traditionally belong to the left and commend them to the right. I want to take issues that traditionally are the substance of the right and commend them to the left. I want to talk to the socio-economic minded, and I want to speak to the others. I want to talk to those that have and those that have not. I want to talk in the midst of one of the greatest congregations on earth, because in our dream team this morning, there were 15 different races represented among 50 of our congregation. This is not a black church. This is not an Hispanic church. This is not a white church. This is not an Asian church. This is a church. Where the Columbus Dispatch reported, black men and white men, Asians, Jews, and Gentiles dance side by side in their happy stocking feet. People ask me, how do you do it? How can you look at this mosaic of people every Sunday of the world? Give us your secret. And I tell them, G-O-S-P-L-E-L, gospel. Leave me alone. You're offending me. Saturday, August 12, at Emancipation Park in Charlottesville, Virginia, a 20-year-old young man from Maumee, Ohio, raced into a crowd of pedestrians. Heather Heyer, 32-year-old paralegal, was immediately ushered into eternity. 9 pedestrians were injured. 2 state troopers lost their lives in a helicopter crash. Because of the friction of hatred. Human persons struck by an automobile were thrown up into the air like feathers in a wind. It is a wind. It's a wind of hatred, no different than radical Islamic terror. This is homegrown terror produced in our schools, in our homes, and in our churches. White supremacy is a hellish, demonic lie. There is no human being superior to any other human being on the face of this earth. Booker T. Washington without argument, the greatest African-American that lived in his century. Born a slave, Booker T. Washington worked the fields under the lash from the time he was 6 years old. But at night, by candlelight, he found a friend that would teach him to read. Booker T. Washington said these words, "My part is to help speed the day, now fast approaching, when there shall not be a northern heart and a southern heart, a black heart and a white heart." You see, the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. We don't have a race issue, we have a heart issue. Our hearts are wrong. A black heart and a white heart. But all shall be melted by deeds of sympathy, of patience, of forbearance into one heart, the great American heart. I want to jump forward. I wanted to tell you about a painting that hangs in the Library of Congress. If you get a chance, look it up. It's called The Dawn of the New Millennium. The Dawn of the Millennium. We must not forget how our forefathers soon transformed the lives of Americans by selling Africans in the marketplace to work as the property of landowners. This is an historic fact. But if we argue in the present, quote me, if we argue in the present over situations in the past, over which we have no control, we paralyze our future. These landowners, of course, included Christians. Our forebears began questioning whether black men had souls and whether or not Native Americans could even receive Christ in their animalistic state. This hatred is as old as human sin, and tragically as destructive as the histories of great fallen civilizations reveal, all in contradiction to the glorious vision of the founding of America. I remember my first journey to the Deep South. My mother, my father, my sister, in the mid-60s, loaded up in a Buick Skylark with no air conditioning and a Coleman cooler. Anyone? A Coleman cooler in the trunk because we didn't have money for McDonald's. So we got trail bologna, my daddy's pocket knife, some mustard, some mayonnaise, a big Vidalia onion, and some tomatoes and Coca-Cola, and we would pull over the side of the road and eat our lunch. I remember going down into the Deep South. I can remember it. The windows rolled down and I heard singing, the likes of which I'd never heard in our Baptist church. Singing. Such joyful singing. Do you know that you can sing in prison? Oh, this isn't going over big now. They were singing. I could hear them out of the fields in the car going down the two-lane road. African-American moms and dads, the old, the aged, the young, little children. My mom and dad pulled over and offered water. Little children came up, their fingers bleeding. It was about 98 degrees and the humidity about 70%. And there they were from daylight to dark. Not one of them didn't say thank you. Not one of them said, I'm not going to drink from that water bottle. But in recent days, when our African-American students from Harvest Preparatory School go down the road to such and so school, the adults stand around the fountain and say, don't drink out of that fountain where they just drank. I remember thinking, how could they do it? How could they be out there from daylight to dark, their hands bleeding under that scorching sun, and sing, by and by, Lord, by and by. We pulled into the filling station. They called them service stations because at that time, they actually had service. They would like pump your gas, clean your windshield, do all that. It was awesome. And my daddy and I went around the back of the building to go to the restroom. Now remember, I've never been introduced to anything like this. We lived in the south end of Columbus, Ohio. And our roads, our streets look like black, hillbilly, hillbilly, black, black, hillbilly, black. And we were taught, in the words of Dr. King, that we judge people not on the color of their skin, but the content of their heart. That's how we were trained. And they were poor, and we were poor, and we just made good friends.
went around the back. And there were three restrooms. Think about that. They went to all the expense to make an extra bathroom. They're about to do that for other reasons now. Written on there, handwritten paint, white men, white women, and another single word that began with the letter N. This was my first introduction to the demonic spirit of racial hatred. But again, if we're going to live in the past, we will never possess the future. Today, we comfort ourselves that things are far different in America, that America was changed by the Civil War, by the Civil Rights Movement, by equal opportunity legislation. An African-American man just completed his second four-year term as the president of the greatest nation on the planet. We have made some progress, and I feel that it is a demonically inspired spirit of hatred that refuses to allow us to go forward as one people. And I refuse to be silent as long as outside of World Harvest Church and its campuses, Sunday morning is still the most racially segmented 2 hours of the week. We need to repent. Black, white, Asian, all of us. Sadly, racism, as illustrated yesterday, is far from dead. How I wish I could say that we had heeded the words of William Wilberforce or Abraham Lincoln or Booker T. Washington. How I wish that we had heeded the words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Hundreds of others who called us to a higher vision. Instead, I have to sadly say that racism is alive and well. And may I say that I feel that the gasoline to the fire and the fuel to the engine of hatred is carried around in our pockets. We are distracted by it when we try to sit down to dinner with our children. School teachers can't get children to pay attention because they're constantly clicking. Good Christian people are lured into pornography because they cannot put electronic gadgets down. And in that netherworld where you are allowing yourself to become someone you're really not, and where you get stroked by your worst ideas, finding those with similar horrible ideas. There, you feel empowered because you find others as deceived as yourself. And that, say you, gives credence to your sinfulness. Now you wish I'd quit at 11:30, don't you? This thing is being fostered. ISIL is being fostered, fueled on the internet. Fear is being fueled on the internet. Sexual immorality and perversion is being fueled on the internet. Hatred fueled on the internet. And I have discovered that it does no good to stand up for what is right unless you will also stand up against what is wrong. Standing on the promises, we cannot fail. Standing on the promises of God that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Please underline the word pursuit. For it is not the federal government's responsibility to create a life for you that makes God unnecessary. Stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe of racial hatred and bigotry is conquered, and Christ is Lord indeed. High profile incidents involving police shootings of young African Americans captured on mobile phones fueled deepening suspicions and fears among thousands. This is a reality, my dear. Non-color folks. We cannot understand what they feel. And until we admit that, we will not progress. I cannot know what it is like to be a woman. But when my wife was pregnant with our children, I prayed to God that I had empathy regarding situations in my family. I have often said to folks, I do not expect you to understand. You've never lived what I've lived. I only ask you to be understanding and not act like you know what you have no possible way of knowing. Contributing, well, I'm ahead of myself, to this deepening divide is a national crisis of empathy. We seem to have lost the capacity to put ourselves in someone else's shoes. Now, I have an advantage in this regard. Leading a multiracial congregation which has afforded me the privilege of countless conversations with precious African American brothers and sisters in their most unguarded moments. Then I hear their voices of anguish as they recall incidents in which someone subjected them to extra scrutiny simply because of their color. I have empathy in this regard because I am who I am. I'm called the Uncle Tom pastor in public. I'm called the lover in public. A badge which I wear proudly. I know what it's like to have to leave a restaurant because my children are being mocked. I know what it's like. Now I'm going to identify with y'all a little bit. I know what it's like to hear the of helicopters hovering over my home. I know what it's like to have the police drag my children out of bed in the middle of the night, frightened and weeping and screaming. So I can at least attempt to empathize with people who are hurting, people who are frightened. People who have experienced what we have never had to experience. Instead of looking down our noses and acting as though they're just being crybabies. I also pray that my precious black brothers and sisters in Christ, battling feelings of bitterness, might find some empathy for what law enforcement officers face every day and especially every night. Let me give you a little glance into their life. Being a police officer means confronting the worst aspects of our society every day and every night. Their job involves dealing with the fallen, the broken human beings capable of anything. They encounter addicts. Let's remember why. Is it because they just are on a vendetta to put people in jail? Or could it be that they're attempting to bring some resemblance of safety to your community? And my advice to you would simply be, if they're doing such a bad job, how about you go to the police academy? How about you go to fire training? How about you learn to become a first responder and put your life in your hands going into a drug house in your neighborhood to try to save the life of some dying drug addict? So I pray that we would have empathy. They're encountering pimps and prostitutes and child abusers and wife beaters. They have to deal with the pedophiles, the muggers, the rapists, the thieves, the violent, the self-destructive, the drunk, the stoned, the cruel, the amoral, the twisted, the psychotic. And the psychopathic. Welcome to a day walking the street in Columbus, Ohio. Are mistakes made? Absolutely. And I call for any such discredit to the badge or the office to be prosecuted to the highest extent of the law. Somebody said to me, can you believe that young man was from Ohio? That would be so demonically deranged that he would plow his car into people. And I said, wait a minute. This is always our problem. If he did that, he should be prosecuted to the highest extent of the law. And as swiftly as possible, I have no sympathy if that was the case. Which of you can prove to me that was the case? Which of you can prove to me that he didn't have a sugar diabetic pass out and the whole thing was an accident? In my heart of hearts, do I believe it was? No. But as an American, not as a white man, not as a black man, not as some news pundit, but as a preacher of the gospel, everyone is entitled to due process. Judge not, that you be not judged. How about pray? Pray for the loss of life. Pray that if he did it purposefully, that his judgment is swift. Pray. But under God, put away this putting forth of the finger about everything. This rushing to judgment, this mob mentality, which is what got us to the place where our nation saw itself yesterday. A mob mentality. That's not who we are. We're better than that. I challenge us to be better than that. The police must maintain an awareness that the very next person they engage may be a psychotic with a death wish or a fine, upstanding human being that just happens to be of a different race. It's not an easy job. So I'm not asking you to understand on either side. I'm asking you to be understanding, to take a moment and step back, watch me, and say, I don't know everything. Because all you are at this moment is the sum total of everything you've ever been told. If you were born in Pakistan at this moment, you would probably be a Muslim. But you had the opportunity to be born in what I believe is still the greatest beacon of freedom and hope in the world. And not only that, you have had the joy and the grace to be born again into the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. And may his love through us rule and reign today and forever. Amen. Amen. I'm going to quit. I'm not finished, but I'm going to quit. If I have offended you, it was not my intention. Therefore, you must not be offended. Because where no offense is intended, none is taken. Here's what I believe with all my heart. As cliche as it may sound, Andre Crouch, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. And there's only one God, one book, the Holy Bible, that will take us not only to that promised land, but this one, the land of promise. I ask you and challenge you this week to take every opportunity to be an agent of redemptive change, to love everybody you encounter, to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that in him there is neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, but one body in him. Heal this wound, God. May every preacher have the bravery and the anointing to confront this evil and lead us to show the world that your son and his love are the only answer. I bind the spirit of violence, the spirit of hatred, of bigotry, of misunderstanding, of offense. Right now, Lord, baptize every one of us in your love. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, thanks for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed it, I want to invite you to tell someone in your life about the podcast. Hope you'll do it today. Head on over to iTunes and leave a review. Share it on your social networks for me. Really helps me get the word out. I'd love for you to connect with me on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. No easier way for me to minister to you every day and throughout the day, and for us to join together in faith as God moves in and through your life. You can find links to all my pages at rodparsley.com. God bless you now, and I hope you'll listen again soon.